Let us open again and see something of the central message that Peter delivered to people on that day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And in particular, his second response. He delivered a sermon initially, as we call it, that had an impact on the people who heard, and then they asked a question in verse 37, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then to Peter's answer, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Over recent weeks, I have used the word gospel, and we often do use the word gospel. We've taken a selection of stories or words of Jesus which do look like good news, which is what the word gospel essentially means, good news. We were reading about Jesus going about forgiving sins. It was good news for those especially who received their sins pardoned. And he continued to forgive those around him as he was dying on that dreadful cross. And then we came to the place in the Gospel according to Luke where he rose again from death. And this resurrection was a new resurrection, a unique resurrection. He had raised three people himself during his ministry, but this was a new thing. Surely this is also good news. Death has been overcome. We read that in the Gospel account. And in the closing chapters, we read of Jesus spending time with the apostles, the disciples around him. Were these good things for them? Or for those number of people that Jesus met, he healed, and he gave forgiveness? Was it just for them? Weren't they meant to tell this message? To preach this message, to give their account, as several of the apostles did, and through others, the apostles gave these accounts of Jesus, of his life, of his ministry, such as Luke's gospel itself. But it was there at the close of the Gospel of Luke that Jesus gave his instructions. "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Not only was this for the disciples, but they were given the very task of telling about it. And when he gave that task, he didn't just leave it to them to work out how to tell, what to say, what to concentrate on. He gave it himself. He gave them the instructions. And there in Luke we have it summed up together. And the two areas of particular focus that were to be preached, are to be preached, are to be seen as the good news, that of repentance and remission or forgiveness of sins. And so we come to the year 2014 in Britain, and we talk about this as the good news, repentance and remission of sins. And our world says, "There you go, talking about sin again. We don't want to hear about sin." But it's there in the gospel. It's given by Jesus himself. This is his direction. This is good news. Repentance and remission of sins is the gospel. I bring it to you this morning, as here we have these two particular gospel essentials, to see them as well as gospel possibilities, and to reflect briefly after that on gospel blessings. Gospel essentials. These two things. We had a picture of it earlier, that we need to get out of the old things. We need to get cleansed of the old things. We need both. And that's what we have in repentance and remission of sins. These are the two things we need if Jesus is to be good news for us. Not just the words of the message, but the reality having an impact on our lives. I know that these are the two things that we need because that's what Jesus gave us. That's what he said. And the other things follow. Gospel blessings, we might say. He teaches us remission or forgiveness of sins and repentance. We saw that those things were the real need of the blind and the lame. Or there was the woman who was caught in sin, and he said, I don't condemn you, I forgive you, but don't go back there. Repent. Yes, when we read at the introductions in the Gospels about Jesus' own preaching, we read, for example, in Mark chapter 1, verse 14-15, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, we have one of them, and believe in the gospel. Is that different? We have two things there, but they're not the same words. We have one of them, but the summary says that he was preaching believe in the gospel. If you say to me that says repent and believe, not repent and get forgiveness, we need the fuller message. Jesus shows how it is by faith, it is by believing that forgiveness is gained. They mean the same thing. Repent and believe means repent and get remission of sins. We've seen it in several of the examples. We saw in the case of the man who was paralyzed and set down through the roof with Jesus, he saw their faith and said, your sins are forgiven. There was the woman who poured out that ointment as he was in Simon's house. He begins by saying, your sins are forgiven. And a few lines later, having explained to his other hearers, he comes back to her and says, your faith has saved you. He taught we have it in John's Gospel. He said, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Why would you die in your sins? It is if you're not forgiven. But that is overcome. It's turned around. If you believe that I am he, Jesus said, the one whom God was sending. So, we must repent. And we must have forgiveness or remission of sins. And that's the guidance, the direction that Peter gives in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2. Both of them. Not one without the other. Both of them. The baptism that he speaks of is the symbol of coming under the cleansing and forgiving that is found in Christ because of his death, that he poured out his blood, his life, for us. We must repent. We must find forgiveness of sins through faith in Christ. I've used a couple of words there. Repentance. I'm sure you know what that is. We've mentioned it from time to time. It's first to have a change of mind. we read one of the passages in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, telling us about the two sons of the father. And one son went away and he spent all his money. And then he came to his right mind. It begins there. If it stops there, it's not enough. But it begins there, to have a change of mind that then turns to a change of will, to turn around, to implement, to do that change, which means to turn from something, to turn to another. It's conversion in the fullest sense. We, in various aspects of life, we might talk about converting something from one use to another. You're doing something with it. A factory and a business might be changed, converted to produce a different motor vehicle or some other kind of product. It's a whole lot of changes are implemented. And it's not the same thing afterwards that it was at the beginning. It can't produce the same thing afterwards that it once produced. It's conversion in the fullest sense, not just what we think of as a change of heart. Not just something inside. The second half of James chapter 2 speaks about that, very penetrating, saying effectively, prove it, show me, give me some evidence. And you come down to the end of the Bible in Revelation, the last chapters, and we all appear before the great judgment seat of God. Men will be judged by their works, the way we live, the things that we do. Not just a change of mind. Repentance is a change all the way to say, I'm going the wrong way. I remember once showing a picture, it's in Australia, and you go down a slip road onto a motorway, and if you pick the wrong one, they'll have a big sign, wrong way, go back. They don't just tell you you're going the wrong way, they say there's another way to go. Don't come this way. We need to turn around, take a new route in life. Repentance. That's the way you've been going. They recognize that. Peter has been setting that before them. This is the way you have treated the Lord Jesus Christ. You have rejected him to the extent of killing him. Turn away from that way. Receive him instead. Isn't that one of the great joys of the risen Lord, that he can be received? The death was not the end. Repentance is a change. Yes, beginning in the mind, through the will, into life itself. And remission. Forgiveness. To have our sins taken away, pardoned, removed from us. That God does not look upon us covered by those sins any longer. Repentance and remission, I say, these are good news. How are they good news items? Because they're all about the bad news being taken away. It's me, it's you, it's all of us, every one of us. Without this, we are the bad news. My sins are the bad news. We look at the world around us and we're troubled at many things that go on. It's bad news. None of that will change unless our hearts and our lives, mine and yours and everyone's, are changed. We are the bad news. Here is the good news. That can be changed. Change of life is necessary, it's an essential, it's a gospel essential. Otherwise it cannot happen. Otherwise there is no good news. Instead, that stuff, the damage, the enmity of the old life needs to be washed away, and we need to keep out of it. And the good news is, the gospel is, that is now possible. That's what those men saw as they heard Peter speaking. It's the gospel possibilities. Especially when you turn to the book of Hebrews, it's very good at showing how even that God-given religious structure of the sacrifices and so on, that was ineffective. It could not achieve what man most needs. There is that great obstacle of sin between us and God. Ephesians, Paul talks about the wall that separates us. Great obstacle. But now it is possible. Now it can be removed. When those men cried out to him in verse 37, what must we do? It wasn't a hopeless question. What Jesus said to the disciples as he was leaving them in Luke chapter 24. These things are now possible. It's now possible to change your way of life. It's now possible to gain forgiveness and to be found before God, acceptable before Him. So Jesus is saying, let's talk about that. Let's tell it. Preach these things. And if that means we dwell on sin, as the world puts it, so be it. Because until we resolve that, nothing will be resolved. But we talk about it, both because it needs to be sorted and because it can be sorted. Some of you might have noticed back in September we had to change our car because the old one couldn't be sorted anymore. You had to walk away from it. Well, we would walk away from this if it was all about just We're sinners. But that's not what it's about. It's saying it can be sorted. There is a way through. Otherwise, why make such a fuss of Jesus? The bad news was that I am a long way from God. There's nothing I can do about it. The future without Him is dreadful. That's where we all begin. The gospel is, the good news is, we don't have to stay that way any longer. Jesus removes those obstacles for all who believe in Him. So we can come near to God without fear. We can enter into a new life for Him, new life with Him, new life in Him. That which was previously impossible for the centuries where Israel had been doing what God had given them to do. It had to be done every year. Had to be done again and again because it wasn't complete. It was impossible to complete it. How much more impossible, if you like, any other way that men choose for themselves. It was impossible. But now it is possible. What shall we do? I have an answer, Peter says. Just the answer that Jesus gave us to bring to you. Two things. Repent and get remission of sins, pardon of sin. These things can only be found in Jesus. But they can be found in Him. It's a gospel possibility now, which it wasn't. Or isn't without Him. Then quickly to touch on some gospel blessings. It's just to reflect on the something of the feeling that we can get, even just from these words of these men in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. They were cut to the heart and they cried out. There was a bitter distress as they were awakened to all that they had done. And the thing they had failed to do, to believe in the Lord Jesus. There's something there of a recognition. If we've done this, if this Christ has come amongst us, the one that we've been longing for, that God has promised, if He's come among us and we've rejected Him, what hope is there? There's despair almost. They're still in their sins. We've just discovered that we can't get out of them. All those things, that righteousness which we've been fulfilling, it's got us nowhere. But we have to get out. That's one thing they were clear on. That without righteousness, they had hopelessness. A And so what does Peter offer them? He points them to repentance and to believing to gain remission, forgiveness of sins. What does he have in mind in answer to their quandary, their despair? What does he have in mind to deal with that state of filth, that defiance of God, that state of hopelessness? What does he offer them? He says, turn this way. This way is open. And those things, that despair, that hopelessness, that distance from God, they will be answered. If you are cleansed from your sins, if you turn to this new way, you will be under blessing in all those very deepest needs that you've just become acutely aware of. You will come under blessing. You will gain that righteousness that you can come before God to be right with Him. You will gain that cleansing, the forgiveness, the pardon, the remission of sins. You will gain hope. There's a new life before you. You will gain that new life through repentance by what Christ enables. And so Jesus, as he came to the close of his earthly ministry, he passed this on to these faithful men. This is the message to deliver. Repent and gain remission of sins. Peter took it up. He conveyed it to the church, which heard that message, which was the very seed of their faith and their hope, as the church exploded on that day. What's the point for us? Now what? Will you believe? Do you believe? Will you believe? So that you find forgiveness, not to die in your sins, and to know that this is the only way. And look at the price. How could it be otherwise that Christ came, the very Son of God, to die on the cross so that we might be forgiven? Only one way that's acceptable to God, but it is fully acceptable. It is complete. The price paid for your sins by his own Son. Will you believe? Or will you die in your sins? That's the one way. But what a way. Great possibility that's given to us now. And will you repent? All of us, will we turn from the usual way of man? Turn from that and take up the way of God. Romans talks about no longer being enslaved by sin, but the glory of being a slave of righteousness. Set on that way, holding vigorously to it, that we will not have it let us go. Turn from our own way and to take the way of our God. By the enabling of the Spirit, and that's where his direction effectively concludes. Repent and gain remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to walk on that new way. And all these things made possible by the grace of God, brought to us in this Jesus, risen Jesus, ascended Jesus. And the thing he wants us to know and keep coming back to, our way before God is to be found. The good news is that sin no longer needs to reign, that we can turn away from it. We can be forgiven our sins. But it is through this trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will grant his Spirit to us. For this morning, I conclude there, and may we seek God's blessing on his word as we are together. Let us pray.